Oliver Callan on RTÉ Radio 1, sponsored by Get Set Go. Get comprehensive car insurance today at getsetgo.ie.
Good day to you all. It's Oliver on the air until one. It is now Tuesday, the 16th of December. It's bright and wintry in Dublin. Ah, it would do your heart good, so it would, honest to God. Taras Jock, August C. Sheas, make yourself a cup on tea, whatever you're into at all. And you can scream on the WhatsApp 087 032 32 32 for your longer letters. You can email Oliver at rte.ie. Lots happening today. It's Beethoven's birthday today. They don't know exactly when he was born, but Marty Whelan said it was early this morning. So I trust that man. He knows these things. But for our purposes, more importantly, Jane Austen. It's her birthday today, 250 years ago. She gave the world Sense and Sensibility, Pride and Prejudice, Emma, Mansfield Park, all before the age of 41. And four more novels were published after she died. If you haven't read the books, you've certainly seen the film versions, or you've seen Clueless, which is a version of Emma and so on. So we're going to chat about that very shortly with the British Ambassador to Ireland, a returning visitor, Cara Owen, because there's a very, there's a lovely initiative between Britain and Ireland where students are celebrating artists and creative people each year together across the borders and putting together postcards. Would students even know what postcards are? Maria, says you. We're also going to be chatting to an Oscar-winning composer. Stephen Price is his name. He won the Academy Award for his amazing score to Gravity. Do you remember the space film, 2013? It was starring George Clooney and Sandra Bullock, and there was lots of unrelenting panic and stress in it. And he scored lots of other films as well. But Ocean with David Attenborough is the powerful documentary that he did all the original music for. And next March, the film is going to be coming with a full orchestra to Dublin. So we'll have a chat to him. And with the end of our planet forecast all the time, there's great hope in this film. And it's always a good excuse to hear this very nice, soothing voice.
Today is in such poor health, I would find it hard not to lose hope. Were it not for the most remarkable discovery of all. The ocean can recover faster than we had ever imagined. It can bounce back to life.
It's exactly the sort of thing you want to hear from David Attenborough. And I was reading this morning on the BBC, seven quiet wins for climate and nature in 2025. These are kind of seldom reported good things that you get the bad news, obviously. If it bleeds, it leads, is the rule. So what has happened in the world that we can kind of cling to hope for? Well, surging renewables is one of them. Wind, solar and various other renewable power sources have overtaken coal for the first time as the world's leading source of electricity. This is a good one. Global growth in renewables is driven by where? China, massively expanding all of its clean energy output. It is huge manufacturing industry, and they realised fossil fuels are too expensive, so they went for renewables very hard, and they've got the benefits of it. Of course, they don't have any planning restrictions or anything in a totalitarian state, but they've dominated the exports as well of clean energy technologies. One of the things they've done is they've invented typhoon-resistant wind farms, hurricane-resistant, basically, wind turbines, and they've harnessed the power of extreme storms, which nobody else has managed to do. Globally, the rate of growth in renewable power capacity is accelerating in more than 80% of all the countries in the world. And by 2030, they say renewable power capacity will double compared to what we have right now. That's only 4 years away, by the way. David Attenborough talked about the oceans. Currently, only 1% of our oceans are protected by international law to protect the kind of various areas from overfishing and pollution and whatnot. But in September, they ratified various treaties by enough countries to bring it into force, the High Seas Treaty. And it's going to go from 1 to 30% of our oceans into marine protected areas, which is a huge thing. Forest turnarounds. Brazil is at the heart of this because the Amazon is such a huge carbon sink that takes all the dirty stuff out of the air for us. And Brazil this year announced that deforestation in the Amazon fell 11% in the 12 months leading up to the middle of this year. And it's the lowest deforestation rate in 11 years. Deforestation is constant, but it's slowing down. And globally, they're saying The amount of the rate at which our forests are disappearing is now nearly 40% lower in the last 5 years than it was back in the 90s, compared to, say, and that's a UN report. And half of forests on the planet are now covered by long-term management plans, which helps things enormously. But still forests, there'll be enough forests to fill the US state of Nevada, which is a huge state in America. Is still cut down every year. For endangered species, several wins this year. Remarkable comebacks showing the conservation measures are slowing and reversing biodiversity loss. Decades of conservation efforts, particularly on things like green turtles. Green turtle populations have rebounded because they release the hatchlings onto the beach. They've reduced the accidental capture, the removal of all those kind of plastic things that used to hold cans together has really improved things. And the species, which has now gone from endangered to least concern rating on an International Union for Conservation, is very good news. Florida saw a record-breaking sea turtle nesting season. 2,000 leatherback nests were found there. And India has doubled its tiger population to 3,600 tigers in just over a decade. And in California, which was kind of the surprising one you might have seen earlier in the year, given the hostility in Washington for environmentalism, in California they had four hydroelectric dams, once seen as renewable and good energy, but they were polluting the river Klamath, which is in California's huge, huge river. They pulled down the dams last year, and very quickly, quicker than anyone expected, the salmon and the natural life returned to the river. Salmon, real salmon everywhere, not even released, just made their way back, and they're all over the landscape along that huge flowing river. So they're kind of the happy things going on in nature at the moment. 51551, by the way, for your texts. If you're in the office today and you're composing emails as you do non-stop from morning to noon and checking them, and you're looking at the emails, they're all nice. Are your emails holding you back at work? This is a question being asked by careers coaches and etiquette coaches. Look at your punctuation, they're saying. You know, they say, thanks very much, you might reply to an email with a big exclamation mark. The exclamation mark shows positivity and enthusiasm. Women are more likely, three times more likely to use exclamation marks than men, according to a Journal of Social Psychology. Believe it or not, people actually research this stuff. The single exclamation mark is a very good thing, but a cumulative effect can build up. If you've got too many, if it looks fake or it looks like it's covering up insincerity, insecurity, it could impact your credibility at work. An etiquette coach is answering the question, is it okay to send emojis or little kisses at the end of an email? He's basically saying, this is William Hansen, an English etiquette expert, he calls himself. It would be better if people used words and a good command of English. Emojis can have an infantile connotation. So you can infantilize yourself, basically, so making you seem younger, not as senior or capable or responsible, kind of. I wouldn't put an emoji in an email, he says. You can be friendly in your writing, but remain professional. And when it comes to signing off with a kiss, never put a kiss on the end of an email unless you would actually kiss that person on the cheek in real life. That's his rule. Little peck on the cheek. We'll be talking about kissing later on, but a different type of pecking. We'll get into it later, don't you worry. Softening your language as well, because sometimes you have all these little self-deprecating reassurances going, you know, I hope this is okay, and that's fine if you're a manager, and is this okay with you, and constantly checking, just checking, all this makes sense to you. That can make it basically seem like you're less capable and not very sure of yourself. So what to cut out of your emails overall? Qualifying words is just checking, just wondering. A preemptive apology is like, sorry to bother you. I'm sure you're really busy, but the reassurance checkers, like hope you can do this, no worries if you can't. Fewer exclamation marks, no emojis, and watch your overly familiar sign-offs, your little X's and O's. The O's are hugs, in case you don't know, in case you missed that lesson. I got a physical card in the post today, always like them, and it's from a fella who's living in Cavan called Noel Monaghan, and himself and Pádraig Lynch, who is an artist from RDE of great renown. I have a Pádraig Lynch actually. They put together a Christmas card, they design it together. Noel Monaghan is a native of Granard in County Longford, now lives in Cavan. Pádraig Lynch is in RDE. There's a poem here. Will I give you a bit of poetry this morning? Yeah, why not? It's simply called Christmas. We journey there in the depths of winter. It's that old longing in us, older than prayer itself. We sense it's that time to reconnect with the mysterious birth of a child in a stable. We journey there with candle flame to lift the weight of winter darkness. Christmas images are everywhere. Ghost shadows walk about the fields. You can almost hear the music of snow falling. We recall half-forgotten stories, all the loved ones no longer with us. A time to connect and reflect. Christmas, we journey there. Noel Monaghan. I thought Brian Kennedy, since he's with Dancing with the Stars now, be a good place to go.
There is nothing like a Christmas morning, children playing and the church bells ringing. I'm just staring at the decorations. There is nothing like a Christmas.